If you are a Christian this evening and you still have breath in your lungs, then I just want to tell you, it is safe to say that God has a plan for your life. God has something that he wants you to do. God has a specific task, a specific will for your life and for our lives as we follow him. And he will reveal that exact will to us. Now, if we're honest, there are times that when God reveals his will, that we stand at the foot of the mountain that God has placed before us, and we begin to drown in the feeling of our inadequacy. You know, maybe God is calling you to help with the radio, to help with Reformers Unanimous, to help with maybe even to be a Christian school teacher, to be a preacher, to be a missionary. Maybe he's just calling you at this point to be a blessing to your neighbor. But it seems like a mountain. It seems like something you're not equipped to do. We think that we should leave it to the more capable Christians to conquer the mountains that we see before us. We start looking around and hope that someone else is going to step up, hope that someone else is going to visit our neighbors. But really, let me ask you this question, and this is the title of the message: why not you? Why not you? Why can't it be you? You might not think that you're good enough. And can I just say the truth for all of us? On our own, we aren't. On our own, we are not good enough. None of us. But the truth is, God is good enough. When we come to the point in the book of Exodus where we are this evening, we see Moses. Moses has just gotten called over to a burning bush, and he's come really face to face with Almighty God. And God is calling him to a task that he believes himself to be inadequate to tackle. Number one, the first thing we see is he doubted his authority. He doubted his authority. Look at verse number 11. It says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You know, you might view yourself as someone who lacks authority to complete the assignment that God has given you. This is the exact excuse that Moses is giving to God right here in the book of Exodus. God is calling Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I imagine what he's thinking in his head is, what business does a shepherd have walking into Pharaoh's house and demanding anything? On his own, he has none. On his own, he has no authority to be able to walk into Pharaoh's house and demand a single thing. I'll never forget when I was younger. I have a sibling. And any of you who have siblings know this, that your siblings often act like your parents. And though my sister often thought she was the parent and tried to tell me what to do, she did not have the authority. But if my mom or my dad told her to tell me to do something, then guess what? She wasn't coming in her authority. She was coming in my parents' authority. Now, before I came here, I worked a lot of secular jobs. And if you ever work a secular job, you know that there are people at the job who are not the boss, but they think they are the boss. And they come and they tell you what to do. And you just look at them and you look back at your computer screen and you start working again. But when that coworker comes with a message from the boss, he's no longer coming in his own authority. He's coming in the authority of the boss. And so even though my sister, when she came with a message from my parents, didn't have her own authority, she came in authority. And even though a coworker, when he didn't have the authority to tell me what to do, when he came with a message from the boss, he came with authority. And when God asks us to do something, when we do it, we go with his authority. Moses did not have the authority on his own to ask anything of Pharaoh, but he was not alone, nor was he going in his own authority. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." God replies to Moses' question in Exodus chapter 3 by assuring Moses that he would be with him. Moses was not going in his own authority. He was going in the authority of the Creator God. He had all the authority in the world. You see, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." The powers that be are ordained of God. Pharaoh was under God. Pharaoh, his power was ordained of God. Pharaoh, even though he did not act like it, even though he might not have believed it, he was under God's authority. We look in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Word of God says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who died on the cross to forgive our sins, he says that all power is his. All authority is his. He has all authority. The one who offers us forgiveness, the one who offers us a relationship with him, has all authority. And he also, you know what he also offers? That authority. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases." Right here in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus is giving his authority to go out and work in his name to his disciples. And you look throughout Scripture, you look throughout the Gospels, and Jesus gives believers. We are given the authority to go out and to preach his word and to teach people about who he is and to tell people about who he is, to tell people about what he has done. We might not have the authority on our own, but the authority has been given to us by God Almighty. The same authority that Moses walked into Egypt with is the same authority you can go to your neighbor's house with. The same authority that Moses walked into Egypt with is the same authority you can go to the mission field with, that you can go and help with the radio with, that you can go and help with RU, that you can go be a Christian school teacher, a preacher, whatever God calls you to do. It's with his authority. So God answered that question. Moses doubted his authority, and God says, you know what? You're not going in your own authority. You're going in mine. But that was not Moses, that was not his only doubt. He did not just doubt his authority. He also, number two, he doubted his assets. He doubted his assets. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. The word of God says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod." Now you look at what Moses says. It's not really apparent. You can't really tell from what Moses said that he's talking really about what he has. But by God's response, pointing to what he has, you can tell that this was most likely Moses' doubt here. I can just see him when God's, you know, after God shows him that, hey, you're going in my authority, but he's looking around and saying, but look at me. I don't have much. I don't have enough to be able to go and to confront Pharaoh. You see, Moses had a shepherd's rod. Pharaoh had chariots. Moses had sheep. Pharaoh had soldiers. You know, I can see the math going through the head of Moses at that point. You know, just like rock beats scissors every time, okay, soldiers beat sheep every time. A shepherd's rod was not going to convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go by itself. I'll never forget going to college. I went to Crown College, and I think I've shared this before, but it fits the message, so I'm using it again. But I remember going to college my senior year and arriving at the campus and knowing that I had to pay a college bill that was over $5,000. And it was $5,000 a semester. And so $5,000 for that semester and then another $5,000 for that semester. And I remember just looking at my bank account and seeing just two numbers in succession, a 2 and a 3, signifying that I had $23 in my bank account as I arrived to college, where I would have to pay over that course of that school year $10,000. Doing the math in my head, you know what didn't make sense? Me going to college that year. And you know what? I've talked to many college students time and time and time again where they have not attended, they have sat out because they couldn't afford it, because they didn't have the money. Now, be honest, sometimes God might be leading that way. Plain and simple, God might lead someone to sit out and to save and to work hard, and he might have something else for them during that time. If that's you, I just want to tell you, don't take this time where maybe you're sitting out a semester as a hold pattern. Take it as a time to advance the kingdom of God while you're waiting to go back to college the next year, next semester. Take it as a time where you're moving forward for the Lord. But looking at that $23, it didn't make sense for me to be there, but I knew God wanted me there. Can I tell you, by the end of my senior year, both semesters, my bill was paid in full. 100%. We have to remember that one with God is much greater than a million without God. One with God is better than a million without God. A rod, the rod of Moses, is better than any army that Pharaoh could muster without God. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 3, God replies, and he said, "Cast it to the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe the Lord God of their fathers. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Can I tell you, there are many times throughout Scripture we see God, we see Jesus do much with very little. You think about Matthew chapter 14, verse number 15. It says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place. It's barren. There's nothing here. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go to the village, into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves, small loaves, and 2 fishes.' And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he, looking up to heaven, he blessed... He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes, and they did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." You know, many of us look at what we have, look at what God has given to us, and just like Moses and just like the disciples, we do the math in our head and we come to the conclusion that we have not enough. We don't have enough to get the job done. We think that, well, maybe someone else will come along that God has given more to that will be able to do this. That, well, I can't give to the Share-a-thon this year. I would only be able to give $5, $10. Well, maybe God will put it on someone else's heart who has a lot more, and they'll be able to give. God can do a lot with just a little. Listen, I want to tell you that 5 loaves and 2 fishes is not enough to feed 5,000 people. If we brought all of Clyde together and took 5 regular-sized loaves of bread here, which is more than that, what they had, and just 2 small fish, okay, and tried to feed all of Clyde just with that, they wouldn't get past the first 5, 1, 2, 3, they wouldn't get past the first even 10 people. You wouldn't make it. Without God, 5 loaves and 2 fishes is not enough to feed 5,000 people. But with God, to be honest, God could have chose 1 loaf. God could have chose 1 loaf. He could have chose 1 fish. Because with God, it's enough. And no matter how little you think that you have to be able to move forward with what God has asked you to do, let me tell you, with God, it's enough. It was enough in 1 Kings chapter 17 with the widow when she had just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil left over for 3 years feeding 3 people. That wouldn't even be enough for my son who's 9 months old. He's eating us out of house and home right now. I'm just saying. I tell you, I can't believe how much he eats. It's crazy. We have Frank Reisner pointing to Drew right now too. But I can't believe it. But a handful of meal and a little bit of oil was enough to feed 3 people for 3 years. Why? Simple answer is God. Because with God, it's enough. Listen, God can use anything. God can use anyone. Jesus is the man who healed a blind man by spitting in mud and putting it on the blind man's eyes. If he can spit in mud and heal a blind man, I'm pretty sure he can use what he's given you to do the task that he's given you. You think about David going against Goliath with 5 smooth stones, with no armor and a sling. That doesn't seem like enough, but with God, guess what? It's enough. It does not matter how much you have. If you give it to God, he will use it, and he will complete the task he has given to you with it. He will get the job done. You see, here God answers the question of Moses' assets, of our assets. It's not about what we have, it's about what we give to him and allow him to use. It's what we surrender to him and allow him to use. You say, I don't have much. Well, give it to God. Let him use it. Moses, he doubted his authority. He doubted his assets. But again, it wasn't about his authority. It was about God's. It wasn't about his assets. It was about God's. God owns everything. He created everything. He owns everything. But lastly, he doubted his ability. He doubted his ability. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. It says that Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. You know what, God? You asked me to do this task. And you know what? I just want to tell you that I'm not talented enough. I'm not talented enough to do it. I'm sorry, but you chose the wrong person. In all your wisdom and knowledge, you got this one wrong. If that's you, let me give you advice. Stop. Just stop. God didn't choose the wrong person. God knows that He will equip you to do whatsoever He has called you to do. God replies to Moses in verse number 11 and says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who will make the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Listen, God called me to preach as a young 14-year-old boy. When God called me to preach, I told my youth director, I announced it, you know, at a youth rally. And it was not long until I got my first opportunity to preach. It was to a group of 9 and 10-year-olds. So really just a little bit younger than me. My first message lasted all of 30 seconds with not one intelligible word in the entire sermon. I could not, when God called me to preach, I could not speak publicly. I stuttered and I stammered. And again, I couldn't get even one word out to where someone could understand. And I think I've come a little bit of ways now. I think you can understand a couple words that are coming out of my mouth. But listen, God equips. God supplies. And listen, there might be something that God calls you to do, and He gives you the ability to do part of it. But listen, if He calls you to do something where He gives you the ability to do part of it, you know what He'll also do? He'll call someone else who has the ability to do the rest. Look at Exodus chapter 31, verse number 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." You see, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel and to do a lot. And in this passage in Exodus 31, God is telling Moses that He's going to build him a tabernacle. You know what Moses didn't have the ability to do by himself? To build the tabernacle. But you know what God did? God also called someone else. Not to do it just for him, but to do it with him. So many times when we don't have the ability to do the entire thing, we shrink down and we don't step up to do it. But what we're failing to realize is God has already called someone else who can do the other part. And because we don't step up, what could be done doesn't get done. What is God calling you to do tonight? Listen, God will provide the ability to do what is needed to do. Can I just say this before? This time, I had very little comprehension about live streaming. And I didn't have the ability. And there are things they were doing tonight that I didn't have the ability to do even 2 weeks ago. But you know what God did? He raised someone else up to come alongside and to help us. His name is Gino Sharp. Listen. If we, as a church, didn't step up first and start with the live stream, Gino wouldn't have known we were even trying to do it. He wouldn't have been able to call with advice and show us different things that we could do to improve what we're doing. We have to step up. Step out by faith. Listen, we have a very talented pastor. And I love playing jokes on him, but as a friend, He's one of my best friends. And we are blessed to have a pastor who cares so much about the congregation that God has put him over. But no matter how talented he is, he is not talented enough to do everything that needs to be done here at the Harvest Baptist Temple by himself. It's not possible. That is why God has brought you, not your neighbor, not just the deacons, not just the other staff, but you, to this church, to step up and to fulfill the purpose that God has brought you here to fulfill. You might think that you don't have the authority. Listen, go in God's authority. You might not think that you have the assets. Listen, God does. And with what you have, he will use it. You might not think that you have the ability, but listen, you might not have it. God might give it to you. God might give it to you. You know, learning might not always be fun, but you know what? It's rewarding. It's rewarding. Allow God to teach you. And you might not have the entire ability to do the entire project, but step up and allow God to fill the other needs. Allow God to prove himself. Allow God to lead. Listen, you look at Acts chapter 4 with the apostles, with Peter and John. It says, now when they saw the boldness of John, Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When we step up, when we forget about going in our authority and we go in his authority, when we forget about just using our assets but using his assets, when we remember that it's not about our ability but about his ability, then when people look at us, you know what they see? They see Christ. And they take knowledge of Jesus. Listen, if your resume is sparse, if your intellect feeble, your skills unimpressive, and your wisdom is just average, let me just tell you, you don't need to fret. God can use you. And he can use you greatly. Moses was a shepherd with just a rod and sheep who couldn't even talk. By the end of his life, he was one of the greatest prophets ever to live. Why? Because he surrendered. Because when the question was asked, why not you? He said, okay, I'll go. Will that be your answer? Will you step up? Will you go?